Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend. Sometimes it's to and from somewhere. Sometimes it's just simple. Sometimes it's as simple as walking from your front door to your car. And you know, the journey oftentimes seems pointless. You know, we get in such a big hurry in life that sometimes we realize that the journey is really what's worth it all. It's while you're on the way. I love to drive. I love to get in a car and I love to drive. Carrie hates to drive. Anytime we go anywhere, 9 times out of 10, I'm driving. But I've noticed that when I'm not driving, I see things that I never saw before. You ever drove a road 1,000 times, then one day you drive down it and go, I did not know that house was there. I didn't know that building was there. I want you to understand this morning that the journey that you're facing right now in life, some great things are happening. You just have to pay attention. The journey that Jesus took on the way to the hill called Golgotha, as we call Mount Calvary. The path itself, less than 0.5 mile long, but it embodied some of the most vivid and wrenching images in the Bible. It is the way of the cross, the path that Jesus walked while carrying His cross from Pontius Pilate's palace to His crucifixion. Mount Calvary was only about 0.5 mile long. A lot can happen in 0.5 mile. Amen? I think there's something that we have missed over the years with this simple scripture that we have read 1,000 times. Every year we read it. But we miss something. Starting in verse 26, and it reads this, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one, Simon of Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the womb that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green trees, what shall be done in the dry?" Y'all pray with me. Father God, this morning we come to you, Lord, and I ask that you will move me out of the way. Lord, let your word be spoke ever so true in this place. Father God, forgive us where we have failed you. We love you. And the church said, Amen. The journey was difficult, but while many would scream, yell, and mock on the way, many were brokenhearted just as well. But in the midst of all that, Jesus does what Jesus is known to do. He ministered to people. Does anybody ever caught that before? He stopped. He wasn't worried about his pain or the agony that he was in, the stripes that he had just took on his back. He wasn't worried about what was fixing to happen. He was worried about what was happening on the way to that place. First of all, I want to outline that in verse 31, Jesus says this, "For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" I want you to understand that this morning, He is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. He's saying, look, these are some hypocrites here. They believe one thing, they say one thing, but they do something totally different. I want you to understand that word hypocrite comes from the Greek word and the Hebrew word hypokritos. It means simply what? An actor. Something so simple. just an actor, someone who wears a mask. Oftentimes we journey in life and we get so excited about what's going on that we go on these journeys and we're on our way to do something in life and we forget what we're doing. Carrie can give me a list and send me to the store, and if I don't keep up with that list, I will never remember what I went for. Why? Because I get busy talking. I get stuck in what's happening on the way there. Life throws curveballs. In the midst of it all, he was still on the way to Mount Calvary. In the midst of stopping and ministering to people, he was still on the way to that hill. We often celebrate this time of year that empty tomb. We rejoice in that old glorious day that on that third day that they go and they find the tomb empty. We rejoice in that. Amen. We're excited about that. But I want us to come to the realization of one thing. If it wasn't the journey on the way to that hill, we would never realize what took place on Mount Calvary. But I want you to understand this. We don't need to forget that that journey was only a half a mile. How many of us travel more than a half a mile every day? Many of us do more than that just walking around our house. The impact that we have on people's lives in just about a half a mile can change the world. Y'all, as I studied this week for this message, my heart became heavy. I wept. I don't know if any of y'all have ever heard the song by Michael Combs, "It Was Me." I had never heard that song before in my entire life. Carrie and Abby and I had went to Zaxby's Monday night, I think. Was it Monday night, Tuesday night, somewhere? We go in, we sat down, and I had my earbud in, and for some reason this song comes up. And I'm in the middle of Zaxby's bawling like a 2-year-old child. Because it was him. It was him. Everything in our lives revolves around what happened on Mount Calvary. We cannot forget the old rugged cross. We have to remember, yes, we celebrate an empty tomb. We celebrate a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a God who is sovereign and just and holy, but we cannot forget that while he was on the way to Calvary, he could have said, "You know what? I'm not doing it. I'm done. These ungrateful people have spit on me. They have beat me. I have healed their children. I've healed the blind. I've made the lame walk. I've even risen some of their family members from the dead. I'm not doing it. If this is the way they feel about me, I'm not doing this. No, I'm done." But he didn't. He didn't. He continued that journey to that hill called Mount Calvary. He was on his way when you and I ran across his mind. Do you realize that? He was on his way. When he was on the cross, he still pled for our forgiveness. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Well, Tom, you don't understand. He was talking to the ones that were crucifying him. Who do you think hung him there? I've had somebody tell me, "I did not crucify Jesus. You cannot tell me that I did. I wasn't even there. I wasn't born." No, but our sin did. But yet, while we were still sinners, he loved us and died for us. We tend to forget sometimes that it is the forgiveness of the Father, the mercy of the Father, the grace of the Father is why we celebrate an empty tomb. I think oftentimes we get so focused on the traditional things of the season that we forget one simple fact, that Jesus, on the way to Calvary, stopped everything just to minister to some people. Just to let them know, hey, it's okay. If they're going to do this now, what do you think is fixing to happen? I promise you this, church, it will cost you something. You will be persecuted. You will face trials and tribulations. People will talk bad about you. They're going to throw mud on your name. They're going to act like you are the worst of the worst. Well, you don't understand, Tom. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about me. And you won't. All because you're a Christian. People will persecute you. They will tell people, well, they hide behind that Bible just to make themselves feel better. They hide behind that church sign to make themselves look good. They only go to church because they're in control of something. They only do these things because of whatever. But it's your journey that people are looking at. Are you walking with Him? The journey is difficult, amen? The persecution is definitely going to come, but it's what we're on the way to that's worth it. I want to share this story with y'all, and I want you to really think about what I'm just going to tell you. There was a gentleman who had an officer. I don't know him. I've talked to him through email and text, but I don't know him personally. He's from North Carolina. He had been in an active fight one night on a traffic stop. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. He undoes the door of the passenger side of this vehicle and he's drugged into the car. And the fight for his life was literally on. They ended up outside the car. This officer had his weapon drawn, and at this point, he did not feel like that he had any reason to fire his weapon, and he never did. But he had his legs wrapped around this individual and had his arms wrapped around this individual. And he said, every time I would look, he said, we would go up, and he'd slam me back on the ground. We'd go up, and he'd slam me back on the ground. He said, Tom, I began to think I'm going to die right here, right now. This is it. He had just had a newborn baby. His son was 5 years old and they just had a newborn. He said, this is it. I'm going to die right here in this alleyway. But he continued that fight. He said, but I knew in the back of my mind, if I do die tonight, I'm going to walk the streets of gold in the morning. He said, and we continued that fight. He said, and at some point my weapon fell out of my hand. The suspect seen my weapon. He went for my weapon, and before he could get it off the ground, he fired one shot, shooting me in the face. He said, the second shot, I reached up and I grabbed the weapon, and the second shot blew off his middle finger. He said, I never lost consciousness. He said, but I want to tell you what happened. He said, I seen a nailed scar hand that journeyed with me all the way to the hospital. He said, and to just tell you how much God was with me on this journey, while we were on the way to the hospital, the doctor that was supposed to got off at midnight ended up working over for another doctor who had a death in his family. That doctor just happened to be 6'7", no joke, 6'7", 6 foot tall, 7 inches, said his fingers, they couldn't get nothing down inside of his jaw to crimp that carotid artery to keep him from bleeding out. That doctor held those veins with 2 fingers on the way to the OR. He said, God is with us on the journey of life. No matter what we face, God is orchestrating our steps. We just have to be patient and willing to understand that the journey is difficult. Sometimes it's hurtful. Sometimes it's painful, but He is always with us. I'm telling y'all this story to tell you this. No matter what life is throwing at us, it is worth every step of the way. Because in the end, we win. I don't know about y'all, but I've read from Genesis to Revelation, and in the end, we do win. But if your hope and your trust and your faith is in anything else but Jesus, we need to talk. Because the journey that you're on right now, it's difficult. It's painful, but there's no hope at the end of it if Jesus Christ is not your personal Lord and Savior. And on the way, the very place that you are in life right now, I got some exciting news, ladies and gentlemen. This is not your destination. This is not it. You know, I hear people say all the time in the arguments of many things, why go to church? Because when you die, this is it. This is all there is. It's over. Can I share this with you? If this is it, if this is all there is to it, I've lived my best life. Amen? I've lived for a cause. But for those who say that there is nothing else, there's no need of going to church, there's no need of believing in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, listen to me because I want you to understand this. If this isn't it, and we're right and they're wrong, which we are according to the Word of God, amen? I want you to understand this. That's a sad day for them because their destination to the place they're on the way to is not all that great. And I want to share this with you this morning that if we're so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, we've done a severe injustice to those around us who do not know Jesus. Because our way to glory is not based off being so heavenly minded that we keep the good news to ourselves. Have you ever ran into somebody, a new mom or a new dad that just had a newborn, and they're not excited to show that baby off? Amen? I've looked. Abby's 14. I still show her off. It's my baby. Chloe, a grown woman. That's my baby. Parker's a grown man. I love my kids. Amen. But I love the Lord just as much and even more. So why would I not be willing to stop everything just to tell somebody about Jesus? Because if our journey is just merely about what we're looking at right now, we're doing it wrong. Are you hearing me, church? We're doing it wrong. It's on the way that we have to stop and tell people there's more to church than the four walls. There's more to church than just coming in and singing a few hymns and the preacher talking for a few minutes and leaving. It's on the way to Mount Calvary. It's on the way to the foot of the cross that we grab a friend by the hand and say, come on, come with me. Amen? It's on the way. The journey at the end of the day is worth it all. But what good is it if we hold it to ourselves? And hear me when I say this. If we're so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good, we're not in connection with Holy Spirit, we're in connection with the world. Imagine that. That we're so focused on the things around us that we've lost sight on Jesus. What if the day comes when we stand before a holy sovereign God and we have to give an account for every word that's come out of our mouth, every action that our life has been given. And we're going to give an account. Amen? Well, I want to ask you, why didn't you share the gospel? Why wasn't that strong in my faith? Why? I gave you every tool to be strong in your faith. Well, I'm not really that great with words, but you can get on social media and share posts. I've had pastors argue with me over this before. I've had youth leaders argue with me over this before. Social media is not an evangelistic tool. Yes, it is. If you can get on there and share furniture for sale and stained glass windows with scriptures on them, you can share the gospel online, amen? Let me share this with you. We're not going to walk around and just simply act as if I'm going to give this right back to you. As if the book that we have in our hand is just simplicity of life. Bucket filling from A to Z. The key to being happy. Anybody want this book? Jazzy, come here, baby. Come here, seriously. Come here, you're fine. You didn't do nothing. I'm using you as an illustration. Come here, sweetheart. Being happy from A to Z. Does this book make you happy, sweet girl?
No.
Chocolate chip cookies make you happy?
Yes.
Then why would we give people lies? There you go, baby. You can go sit back down. Thank you. Do you follow me, folks? And I didn't put her up to that. That actually worked out pretty good. But do y'all follow what I'm saying here? But I'm going to tell you this. We have the key to life. Do y'all understand that? We have a key that fits an eternal door. And His name is Jesus. Right here. We celebrate an empty tomb year after year. But oftentimes we forget about the journey on the way to Mount Calvary. How many of us know that song, "There Stood an Old Rugged Cross"? Amen? Matter of fact, can we sing that at Invitation, Brother Mike? Please, sir. Old Rugged Cross. Because I want you to understand, I set out one afternoon, and I've told this story 1,000 times, and I'm going to tell it 1,000 more probably. I set out one afternoon to go on about a half a mile journey from Milan City Park. Kevin and Keisha are going to be familiar with this. Some of y'all that know that area are going to be familiar with it. From Milan City Park to the Bradford city limits, my distance and judgment was terribly wrong. I grabbed that old wooden cross there and I began to drag it. And people would stop, Brittany, and they would say, "Man, why didn't you put a wheel on it? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? You should have done this different. You should have done that different." Why? Because everything that He did, according to Scripture, was not comfortable. The journey is not easy. The journey is not comfortable. You're on your way to a greater destination, but I want you to understand that it's not easy. It's not a bed of roses. Life is not all dandelions and buttercups. Amen? It's hard. How many of you have bills to pay? Amen? How many of us pay taxes? We all do. I want you to understand there's nothing easy about life, but I want you to understand what I'm telling you. The journey to where we're on our way to is worth it all, but we have to stop and focus on some things around us too. We can't be like the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus said, "These people honor me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me." What good would that be if we were so heavenly minded that our mouths were all about Him, but our hearts were far from Him? Amen? What if we know all the songs, we know the Sunday morning routines, we know all the TV preachers, we know Scripture, we know all of these great things, but the reality is, what if we don't know Him? It's one thing to know Him, and it's another thing to be known by Him. Amen? Y'all stand with me. Hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart. And maybe even today you're asking yourself, "Do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior?" You know, oftentimes in life, we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard. It's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, "You know what? I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level." If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. "Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask You to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and without Him, I would be nothing. Amen." My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.